This is Tiffany the Last.
This is Marima.
We're piratepods.com. We're hanging out at the Bluefoot Lounge with
Johnny Magnum,
Johnny Fuego
of
the Buzz Bombs,
San Diego's
favorite party band.
Well, she's the one in the red blue jean. She's the woman of my dream. She's the one that loves me so. She's the one that makes me go, 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 say. We pop a gorilla, she's my baby.
So, since you claim you're San Diego's favorite party band, can you guys hum or sing a little bit of your the song, the San Diego drinking song?
That's all you, man.
I like raccoons because they sleep on my feet and they're warm when it's cold. Drink beer.
Oh.
That's not really it, but that's... I was working on that before I got here.
Yeah.
I thought it would be a nice addition to the San Diego drinking song. Which goes, I like beer and... Wait, if I gotta sing it, I'm gonna sing it while I'm drinking my beer. Ready? Hang on.
Yeah.
I like beer and I live in San Diego. I started in L.A. and I drank to Coronado. I drank until I puked and then I ate a bean burrito. I like beer and I'll kick your fucking ass. Hey, we can swear. It's the internet, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, so I guess my first question for you guys is, you know, Michael Jackson died a couple of days ago. There's all this controversy. Every musician is coming out and saying how they were influenced by Michael Jackson and his music. Do you guys relate to that at all?
Who's Michael Jackson? See the guy who has that cooking show?
Yeah, no, the guy
and he goes,
the Jackson 5.
He goes, bam, when he throws the spices down, and he grabs his nuts at the same time. Well, let's see. Well, we play Billie Jean, so we're obviously, we are Michael Jackson fans, yeah. When we're at practice, I always mess around with Beat It and stuff like that. But Billie Jean is a huge song for us. It kills every time we play it. People love it. So, yeah, it was it was sad. I mean, am I influenced by Michael Jackson? I don't know influence, but I will admit that when I was younger, I had the zippered jacket, you know, and the fake rhinestone glove. So I got beat up a lot. Yeah. I was young. I was 8. I don't know.
Yeah, I had the vinyl. And I thought it one day it was be worth some money, and then, oh, sure as shit, I lost it.
Oh.
It's like...
Well, it sucks. You could have gotten a lot of money for it now, since he's dead.
Yeah.
But I want to know, like, all right, his mom got the kids, right?
Yeah.
Who gets, like, Bubbles and the Elephant Man's bones and all that stuff?
Well, I guess what was your best moment on stage and worst moment on stage, and did any of those moments include alcohol?
The problem is I can't remember any moments on stage because we drink so much. Kids, if you want to be rock stars, drink.
Yes.
You won't know if you're good or bad or if the crowd hates you or likes you, but you'll have a good time.
That's right.
I don't know. Good, best moment, worst? Okay, well, worst moment just happened, what, last weekend?
Yep.
At the Harp. If you've seen our band, we've been around for 5 years.
Yeah, I've seen you at the Harp.
Okay. You know that I climb on everything.
Yeah.
I'm like a monkey.
With a guitar.
With the guitar, on the bar, on the tables, pole dance, whatever I can do. Fell for the first time in 5 years off of this
right on his ass.
Wait,
this like middle bar area. Yeah, well, pretty much in front of the whole bar full of people. It was, but first time in 5 years. So that's kind of the worst moment. I didn't get hurt. Some guy, some really hot, buff guy, like, caught me. No. Somebody actually did. They put their hands up, so they kind of stopped me from falling on my head and breaking my guitar. But that was embarrassing. That was the worst for me. I mean, just because, you know, it's a little embarrassing.
Yeah.
But 5 years. That's a good run
that's
for
good
not
one.
Falling.
Yeah. And what about your best on stage?
I think the best time I can remember was at Zombie Lounge when we had, I kid you not, 12 shots of Jaeger and 12 Newcastles all sitting on the stage waiting for us.
Whoa. From fans?
Yeah. It was it was one hell of a show, and I don't remember the end of it.
That was the night that I threw up in my bed. And some girl took me home.
She took you home?
She got me home. She got in bed with me, and I just threw up everywhere.
Oh, classy. Did it get on her?
I'm sure it did. I'm pretty sure I actually did not get laid that night. I don't remember.
I would be surprised if you did.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I just remember, like, I didn't care who was in bed with me at that point. I just wanted to die. I was just like, I'm just going to throw up all of my pillow and then go to sleep. If you want to stay, that's cool.
If you want to be a part of the cleaning crew in the morning, that's fine.
I think those sheets got thrown out, yeah.
Oh.
But that actually makes me think of some, maybe this counts as, you know, good times on stage. Is a few times I've had girls run up and just kiss me while I'm playing, which, you know, kids, if you want to be rock stars, drink a lot and let girls make out with you while you're playing. There you go.
But don't throw up in your bed.
Yeah.
No throwing up.
Get the nookie done before you throw up.
So what made you want to become a rock star? Besides the nookie.
Besides the fame, the money, the sex, the drugs?
Yeah, I mean, that's not me being funny. I mean, I wanted to get some chicks.
Yeah, that's...
the way to do
that's
it.
That's how I met my wife.
Oh, yeah? Oh, nice.
Yes, yeah. We're sitting with one of the fallen.
One of the fallen soldiers. Did you meet her at a show?
Yes, I did, at the Zombie Lounge, back when we were playing originals. It was, those days are pretty crazy. We were playing so fast. I can't play that fast anymore. Those days were really pretty balls to the wall, Fuego.
I don't remember. No, I remember it was fast. Kind of want to do it again. I kind of miss it a little bit, that really fast original stuff. I don't know that anyone would come see us do that anymore, though. They just want to see us get drunk and nearly die.
It's pretty funny when you're behind the kit and you're playing all night and you're watching Fuego and you're like, how the fuck is he going to get up on the bar this time? And every time it's pretty. Dude, I definitely think you need to get some levitation going on, for sure.
Well, I've noticed in the last 5 years, I'm not like super tall, but you know, I'm kind of tall, lanky, whatever. So I can get my legs up on the bar stools, and then I can get another leg up on the bar and keep playing the whole time. But I've noticed in the last like year, my eyesight's getting worse. So I'm like, as I'm stepping up on the stool, I'm like kicking it over at the same time because I misjudged it. And then, well, there was that one time we played the Whiskey Girl. I jumped off. I was on the bass, and I jumped off, and I misjudged the ground, and I threw my back out.
Oh yeah. And
I had to keep playing for like another hour. Yeah. I was in so much pain. And thankfully, I went home, and I had some Vicodin at home from a previous issue. Yeah, so that helped. But yeah, my eyesight is like starting to get worse. It's terrible.
Besides being musicians, I read or I heard that one of you is an author, writes novels.
Yeah.
Yes.
What kind of novel?
Oh my God.
I write
kind
horror.
Of shit that makes you want to not play with him anymore because
oh,
you're
really?
So fucking scary.
Yeah. No, they're not scary. It's, well, my first novel was a horror novel. My second one was actually a black comedy about journalism.
Oh.
It was like a serial killer kind of thing. And then I did a zombie novella. I just completed a new zombie novel. Zombies are like the it thing, unfortunately. So one of my publishers said, I want a zombie novel from you. And I was like, well, okay. If you're going to be, this is a paycheck attached to it, then of course. So I just finished a new zombie novel. Now I'm doing the sequel to the first novel, which is kind of like a slasher novel, I guess. I don't know. They call it extreme horror in the industry, which is basically just like blood and guts and like how gross can you be on the page. So my first novel was pretty gross. I can't top it right now, so I've had to change the direction of the character. But that novel did really well because everyone says it's so disgusting.
Yeah, which is why it's kind of hard to play with the guy. When he can write shit like that.
And you know what goes through his mind.
Yeah, it's like...
Should I plug my novels?
Yes, let's hear your pin name.
Well, Ryan C. Thomas, that's my real name. You can Google Ryan C. Thomas.
Okay.
RyanCThomas.com. That first novel is called The Summer I Died. That's sort of the big one that everyone likes, so...
So if it gets made into a movie, will you do the soundtrack?
Absolutely. We actually did get a movie offer when it first came out, and my publisher turned it down because he wanted more money.
Oh.
And I was all like starry-eyed, you know, or I was like really holding out as well. I was like, oh, we can get more. And that was the only offer we ever got. So it came and went. And,
so what's that process like?
Of the movie offers?
Yeah, like what do they do? Someone reads your book?
Someone read the book, and it was a production company in Chicago, I think. I don't remember exactly. And they called the publisher, you know. Unfortunately, I don't have any power over that. I kind of relinquish rights to it. Well, I shouldn't say that. That publisher that I work with, he's really good about actually letting me keep most of the rights. But they did call him, so he handled the deal. I just remember him emailing me and saying, it's not enough, we're going to hold out for more. I don't know. It's such a vague memory at this point. It's almost...
Now?
No, I really don't, because I think I see so many really, really, really poorly produced films nowadays. And I'm not talking about, like, theatrical releases. Like, you go to Blockbuster and there's all these DVDs, and they're, like, shot on digital video and stuff like that. I almost think it was one of those kind of deals. So I'd rather not have a poorly produced version of my book.
Yeah, go straight to DVD.
Yeah. And I don't know how they'd make that book into a movie anyway. It's just people getting hacked up for 250 pages. I mean, it's just really...
It would be a lot of blood.
Yeah. Most of the reviewers compared it to Hostel. In fact, most of the reviewers said it was better than Hostel, so Eli Roth, you should call me and I'll teach you some stuff. But, it, you know, it's torture porn, so...
What the hell do your research?
Oh, I have little small woodland creatures, and I have a blender. You've seen that website, Will It Blend?
No, I haven't.
Oh, there's a great website called Will It Blend.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they put, like, toys and, like, iPhones and stuff in there. But
tell us a little about your third band member who couldn't be here with us tonight.
You want to take it? Mr. Diablo. Well, he's the one helped bass player, I'll say that. And the guy runs on Red Bull. If he doesn't have Red Bull, he's not alive. I mean, it's pretty crazy. He never sleeps either.
Damien Diablo, I think, I hate to admit it, probably is the best musician in the band in terms of being able to pick up just about any instrument and be able to play it. Ross can play bass, I can play drums, stuff like that. Damien can pick up like a horn or a harpsichord,
anything.
And play it. Now he's gonna get a swollen head, but he's a fantastic, fantastic musician who quite often you want to punch in the mouth sometimes, but he's almost sort of become the driving force of the band. And I say this a lot, but I'll say it again. The only time the bass player is going to pull more tail and get more respect than the guitarist or the lead singer is when it's an upright bass. And I got to give him credit because he started out as the drummer. He didn't know how to play an upright bass, and we kind of shut down operations for a few months, and he learned it, and he's fucking fantastic on it, and now he steals the show, and I'm a little pissed about that. We'll be playing, and I'll be looking at the crowd. I'm like, oh, that girl's really hot. I'm gonna go talk to her at the break. And then she, like, walks up to the stage and gets all googly eyed in front of Damien, like, starts taking pictures of it. I'm like, fuck, I'm gonna play upright bass.
Yeah, I just laugh at it. Because I'm just a guy behind the scenes, you know, just the drummer.
Married,
I'm married,
good.
Don't give a shit. And just watching them go at it is pretty funny.
Just give me the Jaeger.
Yeah, pretty much. I'll take the Jaeger.
He's at a motorcycle class tonight. That's why he's not here.
So where do you guys see the band going in 5 years, let's say? Or where would you like to see the band going?
Oceanside?
Moving up the 5.
Yeah, we'll creep up the 5. We'll hit Del Mar, maybe.
So in about 10 years.
We've done Solana Beach, so now we got to move up to, like, maybe if we could get up to Dana Point, something, you know.
Yeah, and
a little ways.
If we get east of the 15, I think we'll be getting somewhere. Shit.
To give you a serious answer, I don't know. I think we don't really look that far ahead. We have a lot of fun just playing. I think back in the day when we were doing original music, yeah, we were looking down the road to maybe be an original band. And then, you know, this is really fun. There's nights where it's not so much fun. We play some gigs that the place is just dead, and we're getting paid, so we kind of go through the motions. Most of the gigs, though, the weekend gigs, like places like the Harp and stuff, it's a really, really fun time. So we actually made that decision not to leave San Diego, to brand ourselves as a San Diego band, so we can stay here because it's such a nice city and make some good money and have a great time playing. So I don't know. I mean, I could do this till, you know, I'm dead or...
Yeah, I've been playing drums since I was 8 or 9, so I don't ever see myself stopping.
Cool. How'd you guys get in the downtown scene?
How'd we get in the downtown
scene? We left a flaming bag of poo.
Yeah.
Outside the bars. Whoever called us to complain, we were like, well, we'll make it up to you if you let us play. No, they called us, actually. Yeah, I mean, we have a media kit. Uh-huh. Every band should have a media kit. And then whoever called us, and you know, I'll give a shout out to Vic from the Whiskey Girl, who has been so gracious and so nice, so helpful to us. He's the GM there. I think he's the GM, right? And he hooked us up with a lot of places.
Yeah.
Not just downtown, but everywhere. And he's just a really, really good guy. So we're really happy that we hooked up with him. And then, I don't know, we've been playing Hennessy's for a long time. I don't know, but we're kind of a lazy band. We don't
find us. We have business cards and stuff, but we have to, you know, cross out half the information on them because we haven't updated them. And then you just write in the current numbers, and then they call you or email you, and that's just how it rolls.
Your website, though, your band site seems pretty updated, though. I mean, I feel like there's regular posts on there.
Yeah. Diablo does that. He'll do it maybe once a week. He's the website guy. I mean, he does websites for a living, so he can do it really fast. For me,
take forever.
Yeah, it's like...
be like, what? Huh?
I need to, like, make myself, you know, tea and get a blanket and snuggle up, because it's going to take me a while just to get a single post up. I don't really know. I'm learning, though. I'm learning how to do website stuff. But yeah, the bars call us. I don't know how they find us. I have no idea.
My other question, I know everyone asks, you know, if you could be on, like, on an island or a desert, who would you be with? Maybe if you were stuck in an elevator for an hour, what musician would you want to be stuck in an elevator with and why?
I'm still curious as to who this Michael Jackson guy is. So, I don't know, maybe he would be.
Would you wear your nice little red jacket?
Yeah, I would.
Your zipper jacket.
Put my little glove on. I gotta think. You go first.
I would really like to talk to Hendrix. James Marshall Hendrix. He's definitely one of my inspirations growing up, and I think it'd be a hell of a lot of fun just to see what makes him tick. You know, that would be it, because he's just amazing musician. So just to see, you know, who he's like, you know, all the garb he wore and everything, it's crazy. So he would be a hell of a lot of fun to talk to for an hour in the elevator.
I guess I say this a lot because we have been asked this question. You know,
an elevator? You were asked that question?
No, what?
That you would be trapped in an elevator?
Yeah, we're talking about elevators.
We're not talking about islands or the desert.
You're in an elevator.
I'm in an elevator?
Yeah.
And who do you want to be
So I've only got, like, well, I don't know. Can I say, like, Tara Reid or something like that? It's got to be a musician?
It can be anyone. You can just do anyone, then.
I can do anyone?
Yeah. Not literally to anyone, but be in there with anyone.
I'm trying not to have a smart-ass answer. I always sort of say Joe Strummer. Joe Strummer's been my inspiration as a musician. Not musically. I mean, yes, musically. The Clash was... They're my favorite band. They're an amazing, amazing band. But I love Strummer's attitude about fame and music and his fans and, you know, politics, everything. The guy, I don't know that I'd even be smart enough to have a conversation with the guy. Or if he's just like, the kind of idiot savant that, you know, maybe he's not super smart, and I would be sad to learn that. But I feel like he's too smart. Unfortunately, you know, he's dead now. if I could bring him back, I would love to have a conversation with him. Yes.
Fucking Billy Mays, Michael Jackson.
Yeah. What the fuck's going on?
But I think what would be really funny if I get an elevator with like Joe Strummer, like Emmanuel Lewis, like who's the girl who played Blossom? Mayim Bialik or something weird. And like Anthony Daniels or I don't know. I just want to get like a bunch of like weird eclectic. Yeah. And then
have them recreate one of your novels.
Yeah, we could do that.
Oh my god, like I'm gonna hurl.
That would be amazing.
I was thinking we could have like a cooking contest of some sort.
I don't know if that's possible in an elevator.
Well, that's what would make it interesting. And there'd be no pans. You just have bowls and spoons, and someone's got to come up with something good. And then the one guy who's, you know, if his food's bad, he has to stay in the elevator forever. Yeah.
All right, any last words for your fans?
Drink beer.
Please don't ask us to play songs that don't fit the music.
Freebird!
No, shit, I'd even play Freebird, but some girl wanted to hear The Cure the other night, and I mean, we can play a lot, and we listen to everything, but when people come up to us, when we've just played like 15 Elvis songs and Stray Cat songs and Buddy Holly songs, we're not going to do
Sepultura?
Yeah, we're not going to do Britney Spears or Lady Gaga. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if you get us drunk, we will. Because shit, if you get us drunk, we'll pretty much do anything for you. But so that. And then, I don't know. Other than that, just come and get drunk and have a good time. And ladies, give me your phone number. And that's about it. That's why I'm in the band, right? I want phone numbers.
You heard it here, folks.
Alright, well thank you. We're piratepods.com, and could you guys give us your best pirate impression or joke?
Well, you've probably heard every pirate joke.
No, we haven't heard too many, actually. Everybody wants to act like a pirate.
Well, I'm gonna fuck this joke up so bad, but what's the one that goes, pirate walks into a bar with a steering wheel attached to his nuts. Bartender says, "Doesn't that hurt?" And the pirate goes, "Aye, it's driving me nuts."
All right, thank you. Arr.